Now, this might be one of the areas where a biomarker such as ARV7 might be helpful. There's a lot of controversy about this, as you know. Some people believe in it, don't believe in it. Some people feel that their clinical intuition is just as good as the biomarker. But if you have a patient that receives, let's say, enzalutamide or apalutamide in the non-metastatic CRPC space, they receive that drug for 2, 3, 4 years, they eventually progress, a bone met shows up, or some other metastasis. At that point in time, most of those patients are going to be completely asymptomatic or largely asymptomatic. So recommending chemotherapy for a man that has just developed M1 disease, who has no symptoms and maybe 1 or 2 bone mets, which are asymptomatic, you know, that's a hard sell unless you have a very strong biomarker that would compel you to use the chemotherapy. So in that setting, that might be an example where you would test the ARV7. If the ARV7 was negative, you might feel more comfortable about recommending, in that case, let's say abiraterone after enzalutamide. Now, I don't know how long that's going to work for. It might work for 3 months, 4 months. But in that scenario, Neil, if this patient has a positive ARV7, I think that would help me as his doctor to say, look, this ARV7 is positive. Most of the studies have shown that the chance of abiraterone working with a positive ARV7 is very, very low, close to 0%, maybe 5% at best. So even though you're not having any symptoms, let's please consider chemotherapy as a next step. And I think that may help some patients to understand the value of chemotherapy, not necessarily for symptom control, but to hopefully extend their life by tricking the cancer and perhaps resensitizing it down the line to another AR therapy on the back end.
Can you review a little bit about the biology ARV7 and maybe anything we've learned in the last couple of years, anything you've learned in your research about it, and where we are today in terms of practical assays that are out there and whether or not they should be utilized?
So the ARV7, I have the privilege of working on that, and I am biased because I am a believer, but I'll try to present, you know, both sides of the coin. It's a abnormal version of the androgen receptor, and it's a splicing variant. What that means is that as a consequence of this abnormal splicing, part of the protein is missing and is deleted from the androgen receptor. And the part of the protein that is missing or deleted is the ligand binding domain. So on the face of it, if you don't have a ligand binding domain, you might expect that version of the AR to be inert, inactive, because it can't bind its natural ligand, testosterone. However, and quite paradoxically, despite the lack of the ligand binding domain, this version of the AR is even more active. So that is, we kind of went over this before, that's the true definition of constitutive activation. Constitutive activation means that ARV7 can activate transcription, cell proliferation, division, even in the absence of a ligand, i.e. no testosterone. It also means that the antiandrogens, including enzalutamide, apalutamide, darolutamide, don't have a binding site, because that version of the androgen receptor is missing the piece of the protein to which all of our antiandrogens bind. Now, abiraterone doesn't bind there, but the other three agents that I mentioned did. So when we first started working on this, we hypothesized that men who have tumors or circulating tumor cells that have or express this AR splicing variant 7, ARV7, would be resistant to enzalutamide, abiraterone, and perhaps the other antiandrogens. And that is, in fact, what we showed, and this has been corroborated and proven by other institutions such as Memorial Sloan Kettering. Howard Scheer has worked on this for many years as well. The second question is, do these patients retain sensitivity to taxanes and perhaps other therapies too, radiation, radium-223, immunotherapy? Well, we haven't fully answered that piece, but I am very confident that those patients do retain sensitivity to docetaxel and cabazitaxel. And unlike the situation with AR therapy, where the presence of ARV7 almost never corresponds with a favorable response, in the setting of taxane therapy, a good proportion of these patients, maybe up to half, can still respond by both PSA criteria or objective disease. So putting the data together and the story together, this suggests to me at least that this is a marker, if positive, that helps to choose chemotherapy over AR therapy.